message that I shared, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I shared about repentance. Forgiveness. This morning I like to look at offense. I've titled my message this morning, Choosing Love Over Offense. How many of you know who Jackie Robinson is or was? A few hands here and there. Jackie Robinson was a Negro man. He would have been one of the first that played Major League Baseball back in the 40s. For Jackie Robinson to play baseball on teams that have always been white men was a huge step. He knew if he was going to play baseball, there was going to be abuse. His manager knew that there was going to be abuse. His manager's name was Branch Rickey. And he talked to Jackie and he told him, he says, when you play, and I'm not sure exactly what all the words were, but when you play, you need to do something. You need to not fight back. You need to not talk back. So his question was, so are you looking for a Negro who's afraid to fight back? And Ricky's response was, no. I'm looking for a Negro to play that has enough guts not to fight back. There were going to be offenses. There were going to be some difficult things for him. As a matter of fact, there were those that would slide into him or try to hurt him as he's running, hoping to break an ankle, to break a leg, so he couldn't play. There were those that would take their cleats, and I'm believing back then it was legal to have steel cleats, but they would try to hit him with their cleats to try to cut up his leg, so he couldn't play. When he would get up to bat, there were all kinds of racial slurs that were thrown at him, horrible things that were said to him. But Jackie Robinson remained strong. He went up to the plate with his head held high, and he played baseball. And I believe he made it into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Is that correct? Does somebody know? I think so. He chose not to allow the offenses to stop him. We'll look at that a little bit more. Offenses. If there's ever a day when people are offended, it's today. Children's books. Color. Names of sports teams. Those are just a few. We could go for a long time just talking about offenses today. People that don't like what they see, so they take it personally. And they want things to change instead of them changing. And I'm not here this morning to get political about this. But the fact is that you and I, as brothers and sisters, we have been offended. Or we have offended somebody else. It's here. It's in the brotherhood. I'm not talking about just Calvary Chapel. We can, yes, we can talk about it here because it's here too. We need to just be honest about this and up front, because these are things that we face as brothers and sisters. We've had changed hearts. There's still offenses because we are still living together. We look at the church today and we see many brothers and sisters that get together and they worship together. But then when it comes to throughout the week, they will have nothing to do with each other because there's been offenses. There's some answers that we have for that. Uh-oh. What did I do, Danny? Danny's not back there. Brent, what did I do? I tried both ways. There we go. We must have a blank slide in there. There's a verse in Luke 17 here, verse 1. Then he said unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. But we're not going to look so much this morning on the woe part of this. But we want us to understand this morning that there are going to be offenses. He says that in the Bible. We're not going to get away from it. They're going to be there. But we have to make choices. What are we going to do with the offenses that are made? I'd like for you to turn to Matthew 24. And by the way, Matthew 18 has so much to say about how to work with offenses. And we are not going to go to Matthew 18 this morning. But we're here in Matthew 24. And Jesus is talking to the disciples here. We're going to begin in verse 1, just to kind of get a little bit of the background here. Matthew 24, 1, it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat down upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, don't be alarmed. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes, and divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We go back to verse 9, and we look at verse 9, and it talks there about delivering you up to be afflicted. And as I looked at that, I thought, well, that's not happening here today in the U.S. Sometimes, as believers in the United States, we get the idea that Scripture was written just for us in the U.S. It was written for the world. And as we look at that, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. It doesn't take you long, if you start doing a little bit of a search, that there are many believers today that are being persecuted for believing, for walking with the Lord. Exactly what's saying here in verse 9. Many shall be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It used to be in America here, if you talked about being a Christian, there was something, it almost like put you on a certain level, a higher level for being a believer. Today it's exactly opposite. If you are a Christian, most of the time you're going to be below. Christianity is not very popular today. It seems like it's getting stronger and stronger that direction. Then shall many be offended. Look at the chain that's happening in verse 10. Many shall be offended, then there's betrayal, and then there's hate. But I believe it begins with the offense there. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. A person that is offended, an offended person, is a strong candidate for deception. We begin to think a little bit about what happens when we are offended. And something I wanted to make clear here before I started. There are some offenses that we face today, a little bit like I shared in my message before, but there are some offenses that we face today that take counseling to work through. I want us to realize that. Not all offenses are just easy to let go and overcome. The fact is, the relationships that we have, specifically in our homes and in the church, the closer we are to each other, the easier, the stronger the offense. Husbands and wives, it is so easy for us to offend and take that offense with us, and all of a sudden we have a wall that's built between husband and wife. We have a wall that's built between brothers and sisters in the church. I think about back in the Bible times, where in Jerusalem or in Jericho, where they would build walls around their cities. What was the reason for the walls? To keep out the enemies and to keep in those that were part of their group. We do the same thing when we're offended. We begin to build walls with the idea that those walls are going to protect us. And what happens? Those walls block us in. And all of a sudden we're locked into a place that we had no choice, or that we didn't plan to go. One of the ways that we get offended so easy today is on social media. It doesn't take long. You put something on social media that's just a little bit controversial, and all of a sudden you're going to see things said that are against you. Not specifically against what you said, but often it comes back against the person. Offenses that happen, we have to make a choice. What are we going to do? We talk about the mask mandate. That has separated and split so many people. It's something that we have today. I'm not speaking for or against the mask, but I'm saying this. A little mask can cause great offenses if we allow it to. We have different views and applications in church life. Those can cause offenses. But there's something that we need to remember as brothers and sisters. And that there is a trademark that we carry, or should be carrying, as believers of God. That trademark is love. Does it mean if I love my brother and sister, there's never going to be an offense? No. But love is going to trump all. It will trump all. Sometimes it takes work. John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Let's look at a couple of verses that talk about offense. Oh, I went the wrong way that time. I'm sorry. Brent, can you move me to the next slide? Something is not happening here. Thank you. "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." Proverbs 18:19. So we have a brother that's offended. Maybe we caused the offense, but there's been some kind of offense, and he is hard to win back. It says, actually, it's harder to win him back than a strong city. The strong cities that they had at the time of these writings, yes, they would come around those cities and to take them down. It took a lot of work. If there was a really strong city, it took a lot of work, but it could be done. But I want us to think about it this morning. A brother that's offended is harder to be won. It's possible, but it takes work. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Their contentions, their strong disagreements, those bars of that castle need to be removed. They need to be broken down, and mending needs to take place. But it all has to be done with love. And I want us to keep that in the forefront this morning. There has to be love. There has to be love. When we come into the doors here, we should sense that there is love amongst the brotherhood. When I meet you on the street during the week, we should sense that there is love. When somebody meets me at work that's not a believer, they should sense that there's something there. There's a love that's there. So what is meant by the word offense? I should have maybe had this way at the beginning. What is meant by the word offense? Offense, in this setting where we're looking at, is like placing a trap. I talked to Seth a little bit this morning. Seth likes to trap. He has some traps, and he goes out and he sets those traps. So Seth, when you set a trap, what's your plan? What are you looking for? You want to catch the animal you trap for. So think about this. Satan sets traps for you and I. He uses people sometimes to do this. What is his goal? He wants to trap us in. He doesn't want us free. So Seth, when you go out and you set a trap, let's say you want to catch a raccoon. What are you going to put into that trap to catch the raccoon? Okay, corn or sardines, something that you know the coon's going to like, something that looks good. Are there times you kind of try to hide the trigger on that trap so they don't see it? Sometimes you try to hide it. You know what? Satan does the same thing for us. We're not comparing Seth with Satan this morning. Satan does the same thing for us. He puts something out there that looks good. Something that we think is not such a big deal, we'd like to have it. What else do you trap, Seth? Anything that moves. Okay, let's say you trap a coyote. Do you know what you'd use for that? Okay, some kind of meat, maybe ground up mice, something that stinks. I want us to think about the idea of stinking. Satan will make it look like it's a very, very good thing when down underneath, it is not beautiful. Yesterday as I was studying, you know, something that happens often for preachers is when they study, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts working within. So I got on my knees and I started seeking God. God showed me, you have some things in your life that stinks. You have some offenses that you're hanging on to that stink. I want us to think about that this morning. That's my goal this morning for us to just think. Is there something in our lives, maybe there's a wall that we have built. Maybe there's an offense that we never thought about. But as we're seeking Christ, as we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us, He will reveal that to us. So we have this trap, we have this snare that Satan puts there to trip us up. There's a spirit of offense. And that simply means that we're hurt by someone. We struggle in our spirit to let the offense go. We want to hang on to it. Satan gives us the idea, gives us a belief that we'd be so much happier if we've got that. And what we don't realize sometimes is that we are trapped because Satan is the father of lies. He doesn't do us any good. We've been looking at the life of Joseph. And the reason I came to this message is because I looked in the life of Joseph to see if there's anywhere that I could see that he's been offended. Did anything show anywhere that Joseph hung on to an offense? I can't find it. I can't find anywhere that Joseph hung on to anything. And we look at the life of Joseph and we see what happened. How he was able to save his family. How he was able to save a country. And I had to think about it. If Joseph would have chosen to carry offense, would we have the story of Joseph that we have today? I don't believe we would. So now let's switch that back to us again. We're living life one time. What are people going to say when I come to the end of my life? And that's not our goal this morning, to lay here in a casket hoping somebody says something good about us. That's not our goal because we are going to stand in front of a judge. But what is happening in my life? What if I continue where I'm at today? What is the end result going to be? Something we really need to think about. I really need to think about. There is going to be an end result. He talked here in Matthew 24 about His return. Is He going to return while we are still here in our bodies? Is He going to return after we are gone and in the grave? We don't know. But He is returning. It's something for us that we really, really need to think about. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Hey, it worked. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. What is that following that which is good? And I believe that comes back to loving. Loving because I have been loved. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. I want us to think about this in relationship. Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Did you catch that last verse? He says there in these couple of verses here that how we're supposed to treat our brothers and sisters, how we're to love, to be pitiful, to be courteous, not returning evil for evil, but he says to love, to bless, that ye should inherit a blessing. And as I looked at that, I thought, you know, God has blessings for us. But there's times that we are so bound up in what I want, in what I think makes me feel good, that I choose not to do what he says here. I would rather get somebody back. I'd rather even the score. And he says here, we are to love, we're to give back good, so we can inherit a blessing. Do you want that blessing? What if we got to heaven and there's a storeroom? You might have heard this story before. There's a storeroom. And there's all kinds of things piled in there. And St. Peter or Jesus or somebody takes us over and they says, those were all your blessings. If you'd have just wanted them. Now I'm sure we're not going to find that in heaven. But he says here, there is a blessing for us, a blessing to be inherited. If we bless. Am I willing to bless even if I have been offended? I can choose to pay back, and I may even win, but I can't have both of those. I can't pay back and have the blessing. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So let's look into this verse for a bit. The discretion, that's his wisdom, his knowledge, his prudence. We're going to use the word wisdom this morning. The wisdom of a man deferreth his anger. Deferreth has the idea of he is not soon angry. So because he's a wise man, he's not soon angry. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So this gives us a picture of the trap that Seth set. We have a trap out here. And it's set. It's a big trap. And as I walk along here, I don't want to step into that trap. So what do I do? This verse tells us it is his glory to pass over. That gives us the idea that he stepped over, he goes around. He's not going to get caught in that trap. We don't want to get caught into the offenses that Satan has to offer to us. We look back at Jackie Robinson, that's what he did. He chose to step over. He chose not to allow himself to get caught in that trap. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. We look at Jesus. When Jesus was being tried or being questioned by Pilate, Pilate asked him, he said, are you the Son of God? I believe something like that. And Jesus said, you say that I am. But then through the rest of it, all the questions that he asked, Jesus was quiet. He didn't try to defend himself because Jesus was willing to allow the Father to be his defense. Am I willing today to allow Jesus to be my defense, or do I have to have my say-so or my word? We talked a little bit about, in my last message, I talked about the unjust servant, or the servant that had been forgiven everything. And then he went and he sought out one that owed him a tiny, tiny bit and wanted to send him to the torment, or wanted to have him pay back. This is what was said about him. His Lord was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you. Do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. We're coming back a little bit to the forgiveness that we talked about before. So what am I going to do with this offense that is directed towards me? Am I going to try my best to make so the one that has offended me pays up? Am I going to hang on to that? Or am I going to get on my knees and seek the Father and ask Him to remove that offense? I listened to a story this week of a man that, and maybe this is something that will relate to us. It related to me. Something rang true with me. But a man that walked with God, he was in communion with God, but it seemed for a while there everything just went silent. Have those times before? It seems like God doesn't answer. We pray and it's just, there's not much there. He knew there was something that was holding him back. And as he sought God, the Lord showed him, the Holy Spirit showed him, that you're hanging on to an offense. You're hanging on to an offense. But he wanted to hang on to it. He wasn't quite willing to let it go. But when he finally came to the place that he told God, okay, I will let that go. I'm not going to hold that against my brother. It was against a brother. I'm not going to hold that against my brother. He said it felt like something just came out of him. And he said there was life, there was happiness. He said, again, I could talk to God and I had communion. It was blocking his communion with the Father. Friends, when we know that there's something that's in our hearts, in our lives, that needs to be removed, if we are unwilling to take that to the cross and give it to Him, we're going to lose our connection. We're going to lose our relationship. It doesn't mean I don't believe that we're cut off. But we lose that relationship, that hearing from God. It is so important when the Holy Spirit speaks to us to take it to the Father and to give it to Him and let Him clean us up. There is nothing that is exciting. There's nothing that feels as good. When I came yesterday, when I got on my knees and I asked God to take that from me, there's nothing that feels as good as that. When we are totally clean, when there's nothing that's between me and the Father, and the communion flows. I get goosebumps, holy goosebumps, I guess is what they say, Holy Ghost goosebumps when I think about that. But the fact is, it's not always that way. There's times when we hang on to it. I want to encourage us this morning, take it to the Father. He wants every one of us sitting here this morning to be clean. Washed clean. And every one of us here this morning, He wants relationship. He wants to commune with us, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. As you're driving your truck, as you're working, whatever you're doing, He wants to hear from you and He wants to talk to you. Can you imagine the blessings that we miss because we close ourselves off? I'm talking from where I've been at. I can't point at you. Acts 24:16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I want to think about the word exercise this morning. You have these bodybuilders that go out. They go to the gym. I remember years ago I was at a gym one time. I was there playing racquetball. They had a beautiful racquetball court at this gym. And there's a guy that come in and he looked like, what's the dude's name? Atlas? He was built. So I just asked him, I said, how long did it take you to get to where you're at today? And I believe if I remember correctly, he said 7 years. He didn't get muscle and built like that in 2 weeks. This word exercise that we're thinking about here, and herein do I exercise myself, gives us a little bit of an idea of continuing in. He continued in his exercise. He took protein shakes or whatever it took to build himself up. He had to eat the right things. Think about eating the right things for a minute. If we want to feel healthy, we eat good stuff. The chips that I eat sometimes are not healthy. They don't make my body feel good. If I want my body to produce like it should, I need to eat good foods. Same spiritually. If I want my spiritual body to grow, I can't be one that just, I'm just not going to eat much. I'm going to shrivel up and die. But if I really want to grow, I'm going to get into the Word and I'm going to dig and I'm going to get what's there. It's an exercise. I always want to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Let's exercise ourselves. Let's get into the Word. Let's dig. Let's see what He has for us. Let's grow. I want to read a couple of verses here I don't have up here. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Did you catch that? Great peace have they which love thy law, His Word, and nothing shall offend them. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Isaiah 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. That gives us a security. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So I want to leave us with one verse this morning. It's the verse that we began with, which I did not read at the beginning. But I want to leave us with this verse here this morning. Excuse me. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Again, it just brings back to me the fact that as brothers and sisters, we have received Christ's love in each one of our hearts if we've invited Him to be in control of us, if we've been born again. But He asks us, the love that He gives us, not to hold it in just to ourselves, but to let it pass on through. The example is given of two seas. The Sea of Galilee is a sea that is full of life. There is so much that is in the Sea of Galilee. But you know, it continues to flow. And as it flows, it ends up in the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has absolutely no way to send anything out. The Sea of Galilee does. See, what comes in is shared with those around us. The Dead Sea takes in and it dies. The Dead Sea has no life in it. So my challenge this morning is for each one of us to think in our own personal lives, is there some kind of an offense? See, each one of us are thinking this morning. Each one of us knows if there was something that was brought to your memory this morning, an offense. I'd like for you to stand this morning. I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I'm going to ask you also, if God has given you something, if the Holy Spirit has reminded you of some kind of an offense in your life this morning, something that you're hanging on that you know is holding you back, would you give that to the Lord this morning as I pray? Just talk to Him. It's very simple, actually. Just to give Him what's on our heart and ask Him to remove it and to give us peace instead and love. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank You for each one that's here. Lord, we all have hearts. We've all got desires. Satan is about to set traps, Lord, to take us down. And sometimes he uses human bodies, human people to do this. Lord, I pray this morning for each one as we hear from You this morning, would You allow Your Spirit to direct us? And Lord, if we have something in our lives, in our hearts, that is keeping us from having full communion with You, from having complete freedom in You, if there's any kind of an offense, Lord, that we are holding, or maybe it's an offense that we have caused, speak to us, Father. Would You forgive us? Would you bring us to a place of complete freedom? Thank you so much for how you speak into our hearts, into our lives. We commit ourselves to you, and we pray, Lord, that you would use us this week to minister to those around us, that your love would flow into us and flow right back out and be a blessing to those we come in contact with. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, you may be seated.